자유라다마다바 자유군자비하리 도피자나발라바 자유길에 바라다리 자유길에 바라다리 자요 야쇼다난다나 자요 브라자 자나란자나 자유군자비아리 자유라타마타바 자유군자비아리 Shrila Prabhupada ki Chaya Om Vishnupat Paramahansa Parivra Chakacharya Totarasata Si Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki Krantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to Sri Shri Guru and Sri Gauranga All glories to Srila Prabhupada Narayanam namaskritim Naram chaiva narottamam Devim saraswatim vyasam Tato jayanudirayet Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya So reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5th, Chapter 20, 24, Text 20 So I will read it word by word because this is prose. Yasya, of whom, Havava, indeed, Kshuta, when in hunger, Patana, falling down, Praskhalana, Atishu, stumbling and so on, vivashaha, being helpless, sacred ones, nama abhikrinam, chanting the holy name of the Lord, purushaha, a person, karma bandhanam, the bondage of fruitive activity, anjasa, completely, bitunoti, washes away, yasya, of which, ha, certainly, eva, in this way, pratipadanam, the repulsion, mumukshavaha, person desiring liberation, anyata, otherwise, eva, certainly, upalabhante, are trying to realize. It's too low. If you can turn it down a little bit. No, no, it's too, yes, need lower the level of the volume. Yes, lower. Sorry. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If one who is embarrassed by hunger, or who falls down or stumbles, chants the holy name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he is immediately free from the reaction of his past deeds. Karmis entangled in material activities face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve the same freedom. Purport. It is not a fact that one has to offer his material possessions to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and be liberated before he can engage in devotional service. A devotee automatically attains liberation without separate endeavors. Bali Maharaj did not get back all his material possessions merely because of his charity to the Lord. One who becomes a devotee free from material desires and motives regards all opportunities, both material and spiritual, as benediction from the Lord, and in this way his service to the Lord is never hampered. Bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation, are only byproducts of devotional service. A devotee need not work separately to attain mukti. Srila Bilba Mangala Thakur said, Mukti Swayam Mukulitanjali Sevate Smam. A pure devotee of the Lord does not have to endeavor separately for mukti, because mukti is always ready to serve him. In this regard, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antia 3.17.7.188, describes Haridas Thakur's confirmation of the effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord. Keha vale namahaite haya papa kshaya, keha vale namahaite jivera moksha haya. Some say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is freed from all the reactions of sinful life. And others say that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one attains liberation from material bondage. Then, Haridas Kahena Namera E Dui Palanaya Namera Pale Krishna Pade Prema Upaya. Haridas Thakur, however, said that the desired result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is not that one is liberated from material bondage or free from the reaction of sinful life. The actual result of chanting the holy name of the Lord is that one awakens his dormant Krishna consciousness, his loving service to the Lord. Anushankika phalana mera mukti papa nasha tahara drishtanta yake suryera prakash. Haridas Thakur said that liberation and freedom from the reaction of sinful activities are only byproducts of chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one chants the holy name of the Lord purely, he attains the platform of loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this regard, Haridas Thakur gave an example comparing the power of the holy name to sunshine. Eich slokera arta kara panditera gana sabe kahe tumikaha arta vivarana. He placed a verse before all the learned scholars present, but the learned scholar asked him to state the purport of the verse. Haridas kahena yache suryera udaya udaya na haite arambe tamera haya kshaya. Haridas Thakur said that as the sun begins to rise, it dissipates the darkness of night even before the sunshine is visible. Chaura preta rakshasadira bhaya haya nasha udaya haile dharma karma adi parakash. Before the sunrise even takes place, the light of dawn destroys the fear of the dangers of the night. Such are disturbances by thieves, ghosts, and rakshasas. And when the sunshine actually appears, one engages in his duties. Aiche namo daya rambe papa adi rakshaya udaya kaile krishna pade haya premo daya. Similarly, even before one's chanting of the holy name is pure, one is freed from all sinful reactions, and when he chants purely, he becomes a lover of Krishna. Mukti tukchapala haya nama vasa haite ye mukti bhakta na laya se Krishna chahe tite. A devotee never accepts mukti, even if Krishna offers it. Mukti, freedom from all sinful reaction, is obtained even by Nama Abhas, or a glimpse of the light of the holy name, before its full light is perfectly visible. The Nama Abhas stage is between that of Nama Aparat, or chanting of the holy name with offenses, and pure chanting. There are three stages in chanting the holy name of the Lord. In the first stage, one commits 10 kinds of offenses while chanting. In the next stage, Namavas, the offenses have almost stopped, and one is coming to the platform of pure chanting. In the third stage, when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra without offenses, his dormant love for Krishna immediately awakens. This is the perfection. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So good morning, everyone. Welcome to Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. So just waiting for, I wanted to read a few verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, but the computer turned off. And I will have to look for the verses. again. So be kind to me, patient when I'm looking the verses sometimes. Okay, so here it is compare the results of fruitive activities in liberation to the Holy Name. How by just by chanting the Holy Name, even willingly or unwillingly, the results you obtain are far beyond what can you obtain by doing so much effort through different ritualistic processes, like Karmakanda process of the jnana process to obtain liberation, who are very hard. Even the results you can get with, if you are kind of have some success in those processes, still you can get with the Holy Name, even if you just happen to chant the Holy Name, like it's explained here. If one is one who is embarrassed by hunger or who falls down or stumbles, chant the Holy Name of the Lord even once, willingly or unwillingly, he's immediately free from the reaction of his past deeds. Karmis entangled in material activities face many difficulties in the practice of mystic yoga and other endeavors to achieve that same freedom. So that just to be free from the reactions of past deeds through different pious activities is not, actually it's not possible to be totally free by any other process except bhakti. Even if you want to be free from the material life, at once it can be get by, according to the scriptures, by chanting of the Holy Name, like the story of Ajamil that we will come a few months. He just happened to chant the name of Narayana because his son was named Narayana. And he every day would chant Narayana. It was like a sadhana. He would chant Narayana, but without that faith or without referring to the Lord. But when he was dying, he changed the name of Narayana, calling his son. And he achieved the Vishnu Dutas instead. The Yama Dutas came to take him, but the Vishnu Dutas immediately came and said, "You cannot take this man because he chant the Holy Name of the Lord." And the Yamadutas explained him that he's a very sinful man, because even though he was trained as a Brahmana, he engaged in all kind of sinful activities later on. We know the story of Ajamil. When he was young, although he was trained as a Brahmana, he became attracted to just by seeing a couple kissing each other in the city, he became very all his material desires awakened, and it was very difficult for him to control his mind. He was meditating on that, and Prabhupada mentioned there that now in Kali Yuga you see that all over, it's all pervading, like even if you check your mail also. I mean, there are mails that doesn't have, fortunately. Propaganda. I remember I used to have a Yahoo before, and many times I enter, there will be like propagandas, and it was disturbing. And you go to the street nowadays, and this is very common. What Ajamil saw is nothing to be ashamed by today's standards. It's something nice. Another, in India, at least till 2008, it was forbidden to put a picture for a commercial of a man and a lady kissing each other. And it's kind of by the culture is forbidden. I probably now would change that. But in the culture where Ajamil was, he grew up, that was not very common. So when he saw that, he really became disturbed, and all the teachings that he received at the training from his parents, and became a burden just to practice every day. While contemplating the Tayate Vishayam Punsa, the object of the senses, this strong sangat attachment start developing on his mind, on his heart, till the point that he finally threw everything out. It's like, sometimes we are chanting Hare Krishna with our beats. I don't say you or saintly, but let's say we are chanting, and then we see something like very foolish, something like there are different kind of japa meditation. We know these are not describing the scriptures, but come from experience from the different devotees. they come from. Like if you just observe different temples when devotees are chanting, or in the house when devotees are chanting, or when devotees are chanting rounds in the wedding hall or in the prasadam hall here, these things I will tell you can happen even in the temple room. But there are different kind of japa. This inspector japa. You know what does it mean, inspection? It's like an agent, someone who is trying to find out something. So you may be chanting, but the environment where you are, there are many distracting things. There are some pictures, not all may be Krishna's pictures, and there are also some magazines there. And then you start chanting and you start observing everything. Inspection, and you go walking, and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and you pick up something, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, and you put again, and then you pick up another thing, and you look, Hare Krishna, and in between you make a question, where is this meant from? Like, especially if you are visiting the house of a devotee, you know, so, oh, where do you get this? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So this is one kind of japa, and finally, that by doing this observation, you become so attached to the object that finally you give up the beats and you take one object. So, and then you replace. And you finally came to the video shelf and you say, oh, you have this movie, maybe. This movie is amazing about Prahlad Maharaj. Let's watch it. And you give up the beats there and end of japa. So, and there are different kind of japa meditation like this that we get distracted. Japa talk, japa walk. I would say, let's go for a walk to chant. And then you start walking, and there will be, of course, many objects. And you may see things like in a japa walk, you have a 99% possibilities of having the same experience of Ajamil. Because if you go to the park, especially if you want something, nothing to blame to people. It's just what's going on there. And so you go for a japa walk, and then you come back with a treasure of thoughts, new thoughts that are not related to the holy name. So therefore it is advised that the chanting in holy places is better. And also you may be distracted because you start talking with the devotee, you are chanting, and then some questions come. Then finally the purpose of the walk is defeated. And someone says, oh, I have some barfi here. You want? They're very innocent, but in the long term, it's very dangerous. And in this way, there are many other ways of chanting when the mind becomes distracted by different things. And the result of all these things is that when you don't have anything to engage your mind after you do all this japa, and you say, okay, so today let me sit and chant without any disturbances. Then you make, according to Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, this japa is called World War II. It's you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, poof! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it's like, so all the, so it's like bombs falling down. That happened also in Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are results because the mind doesn't have anything to focus except the chanting. So it's not attractive. So one devotee was telling me just a few days, can I go and I just chant? I'm getting distracted by the devotees chanting here. So I told him, like, what did this happen to everyone? I think that everyone has the same problem here because someone is chanting loudly, etc. And if we have to say, okay, go for that reason, then everyone should go if we want to be fair. But the idea is that you stay because otherwise your mind will take you in everywhere in the temple. You will go to one place, another, and finally in summertime it will take you away. It will take you to the beach. Yeah, so then the devotees learn to train their mind so they focus in one place only. So as Amil, he got really distracted and finally he gave up his practices. That can happen to everyone whose chanting is not perfect. At any time, we're in danger of losing our taste, everything, and give up all our practices, the devotional service. So Jamil gave up everything, and later on, he engaged in some vikarma activities. And by doing that, he accumulated a lot of sinful reactions in an unmanifest stage and in manifest stage, you know, by having he had a family and he got married with a lady who was not from a very good reputation. And finally, when he was dying, he put his sons some names, Narayana, etc. And just by this little thing of having a son named Narayan, he got perfection finally. Because he mentioned the name Narayan, and then when the Yamadutas came to catch him, the Yamadutas are the agent of the Lord, serving Yamaraj, who is the Lord of death, and their work is like the police here. Like if you have bad records, finally, and you are trying to avoid police, at one moment they may catch you. But the Yamadutas are very expert in that. Nobody can escape from the Yamadutas. And they're real. I mean, there are even people who doesn't know the Srimad Bhagavatam, and they describe what they saw at the time of death. And it's pretty, very similar to the description given in the Srimad Bhagavatam of the Yamadutas. But the Yamadutas, when they saw Ajamil, they were trying to catch him, and immediately another living entity that they never saw appeared in the place. And those personalities were really beautiful and divine. They were called the Vishnu Dutas. They were agents of Lord Vishnu. And their job is to take the devotees back to the spiritual world. So they have a great discussion there. Who is taking Ajamil? And the Vishnu Dutas were explaining that they chant the holy name. So I wanted to read that short conversation between the Yama Dutas and the Vishnu Dutas. That's a few verses in which they describe the potency of the holy names. Yes, it's Srimad Bhagavatam, Sixth Canto, Chapter 2, and I'm looking for the verse now. We'll read from text 7, which gives a background. This is now the conversation with the Yamadutas. They are wondering why the Vishnu Dutas are here, etc. And they say, Ajamir has already atoned for all his sinful actions. He committed many sinful actions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives. For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayan. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offenses, and therefore he is now pure and eligible for liberation. The Vishnu Dutas continue, even previously, while eating at other times, this Ajamir would call his son, saying, my dear Narayan, please come here. So it's not only that he chanted the Narayan name at the time of death, but he also chanted during his life. It was a type of sadhana. He would chant regularly the name of Narayan. So all these things were accumulated. He would say, my dear Narayan, please come here. Although calling the name of his son, he nevertheless uttered the four syllables Narayana. Simply by chanting the name of Narayana in this way, he sufficiently atoned for the sinful reactions of billions of lives. The chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief or gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king, or his fathers. Very heavy what they are saying. For one who slaughtered cows, and for all other sinful men, simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful person may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. So by following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become as purified as by chanting once the holy name of Lord Hari. Although ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reaction, it does not awaken devotional service, unlike the chanting of the Lord's names, which reminds one of the Lord's fame, qualities, attributes, pastime, and paraphernalia. So in the Vedic ritual, there are many kinds of atonement for different sinful reactions, in the same way that in Christianity, I used to go, so I was raised in a Catholic school, we have once a week, and sometimes an obligatory, and a mandatory, we have to go and confess our sins. And also we can do it in an everyday basis, if we want. And there were different kind of atonements according to the kind of sin. And there are sins that are very grave, like if you kill someone, this is called a mortal sin. Like you will have to do a lot of penances to get rid of that. And for children, our sins were like throwing stones through a house. Since this was the more great, we may say. So you have to confess and say, yes, I took a stone and I threw it to my neighbor's house. And then they would say, oh. I say, now you have to chant 10 rosaries during this week, and then you are free from your sinful activity. So you do that, and then you get relief. And then you have a new bank, like a new account for the next week. I said. So you have to be very careful not to commit any sin to the next week. That's what's our mentality. And then you go out next week, and then you confess, and then you have another week, and then again. Always the same thing we were doing. So, in the very ritualistic, there are very complex processes to get rid of sins. But here the Vishnu Dutas are explaining that just by chanting the holy name, you get rid of thousands and thousands of sinful activities. And we know from Padma Purana, Nectar of Devotion, that even if you do these atonements, still you will have the desire to commit the sinful activity again. Maharaj Pariksit questioned that, what is the use of this kind of atonement if after, he compared that to the elephant bath. Like he enters in the river, he gets cleansed, and then he came out and he starts getting mad again. So in the same way, you may get rid of your sinful reactions, but not of the propensity, kutam, of committing again that sinful reaction. But the process of devotional service can destroy all the stages of sinful life, including the starting for avidya, by giving transcendental knowledge, and then destroying the sinful reactions, and also destroying prarabdha, the manifested reaction, unmanifested reactions, a prarabdha, and also the tendency that is the most strong, the propensity to commit the sinful again, the sinful activity again. That also is destroyed by the devotional service in the sadhana level. But through the other process, you came back again committing sinful activities. So the ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scripture are insufficient to clean the heart, absolutely, because after atonement, one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the fruitive reactions of material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, or glorification of the name, fame, and pastime of the Lord, is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting eradicates the dirt from one's heart completely. So at the time of death, this Ajamil helplessly and very loudly chanted the holy name of the Lord, Narayan. That chanting alone has already freed him from the reaction of all sinful life. Therefore, all servants of Yamaraj, do not try to take him to your master for punishment in hellish condition. And here, so you may say, okay, but he didn't chant with faith, his chanting wasn't pure. But the Yamadutas, they say that one who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately free from the reaction of unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly. Like when you go to Harinam, and if you're going, you may have experience of people laughing at the devotees, like saying, Hare Krishna, and start dancing like in a joking mood. So here it is said that they are getting in trouble if they do that. They get implicated. They get results from chanting. So a positive, but a very negative for them, for their material purposes. So indirectly, jokingly, indirectly can be even if you chant the holy name in a word that is not necessarily a word that indicates the holy name. Like in Spanish, we have the word Rama. Rama, which means branches. Branches. It's very interesting. Sometimes the devotees, they joke that they are in a train. I think that this happened actually. they were in a train, and so there were some speaking Spanish devotees in the train, but they were in the roof of the train, like many people travel like that in India. So they were there, and everyone was standing up. So one devotee saw a branch of tree, a tree were coming, so you have to low down so the branch doesn't hit you. So he said in the Spanish, "Ram, Ram, Rama, Rama." So everyone say, "Haribol, Ram, Ram," and they got stuck with the branches. So, but the scripture said that even if you say Rama indirectly, like not addressing, that you get benefits. And if there is a word composed with in the beginning, as you have another word, and at the end another word, and in the middle there is the word Rama, there are benefits. So for musical entertainment also, if you chant, there are many who are chanting for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully, this is accepted by all the learned scholars of the scriptures, that you get free from reactions. So if one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, sleeping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. So in Bhagavad Gita it's described that there are different moments when you die, and for the yogis, according to that particular moment, according to the sun, in this time, where the sun is going in the universe, etc., you can go to heavenly planets, or you can go liberation, or you stay in the earth. But for a devotee, they can die in any way, and if they chant the holy name, they get this result that the Vishnu Dutas are describing here. So in relation to that, the faith of a devotee is that by performing Krishna service, so Krishna sabde sudrida nishchaya, but this firm faith that by chanting the holy name or by performing devotional service, all other subsidiary activities are achieved. Like even if you die in any place, you attend the holy name. There is a nice example of one who had that faith in the Chaitanya Lila. His name was I won't say the name, I will say later. There was a man who had that faith, and he was chanting the holy name all the time. Like he couldn't stop chanting the holy name. He would chant in every place. But he was very worried of chanting the holy name in the toilet. So he was trying to stop the chanting of the holy name while going to the forest with a lota to pass a stool. So it was very hard for him to stop the chanting. So he was chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and then he had the lot, and he said, "No, I cannot do that. Chant the holy name at the same time. This will may be offensive." And so he was trying with one hand. We had the lot, and with the other hand, he was trying to hold his tongue. And he was, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna," and again chanting. So there was a boy, a devotee boy there, who was a follower of Lord Chaitanya, called Gopal, and he saw that situation. So he felt some kind of pity for the man. He approached and he said, "What are you trying to do?" He said, "No, I want to stop chanting. I cannot stop chanting, but I want to stop chanting because I have to do this. I have to pass a stool." He said, I don't like that. He said, "The holy name is pure and this activity is all sinful." He said, Gopal explained, "You don't know the power of the holy name. According to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you should chant the holy name everywhere, at any time. And he said, because what happened if you die? Even if you die passing a stool and you're not chanting the holy name, then what will happen to you? So according, even like in this verse we are reading, the Vishnudutta, there is, every situation is favorable for chanting. And so Gopal Guru, Gopal explained to him, according to the instruction, Lord Chaitanya, so this man, okay, he start chanting. And the devotee happened to see that, and Lord Chaitanya also find out about what Gopal was teaching, so finally he was called Gopal Guru because of his faith in the holy name. Lord Chaitanya was very pleased because of the faith he had in the holy name. That for many other people may seem like an exaggeration. But later on there was a test for Gopal. A devotee called Abhiram Thakur, if I mistake the name, please correct me. Abhiram Thakur, he has the power of paying obeisances to stones, that if the stone were in Shalagram Shilas, a holy stone, the stone will break. So he had a way to prove that the Shalagram Shila is real or is a fake. And by paying obeisances, it will break. It's break means that it's not holy. One devotee once in South America, he made a Govardhan hill of halava. And then after the feast, there was some remaining, some halava, and he didn't throw it, and he keep it, and after 1 month, it became like very solid. And finally, he was keeping one piece, and I happened to saw this, and I asked him, what is this? It's a shila. It's a Govardhan shila. Because it was taken from the Govardhan hill, but we made in halava. It was like a miracle. And if you touch it, it will be really like a stone. So many devotees, they were, wow, Prabhu, awesome. Yeah, because there was no Shastric evidence to say more than awesome. You cannot go anywhere else that explain that that can happen. And so everyone was like praising him. Like, well, wonderful, you must be very special. But there was no Abhiram Thakur to prove that. But his spiritual master happened to come, Bhakti Bhushan Swami, and when he saw that, he said, just through it. through it. So all the illusion went gone. I mean, the devotees was a very good devotee, no? So, you know, trying to diminish him. Therefore, I don't mention names. But this, when the spiritual master comes, they have the real, I mean, perspective, the right perspective. And he said, no, this is not. So Abhiram Thakur, he can prove that. And he also can prove if someone has devotion or not for the Lord, the real faith. So he would pay obeisances to anyone. He won't do that normally. But he will pay obeisances, and that person is not, doesn't have pure faith for the Lord, the person will die. So this brings some bad reputation for Abhiram Thakur, like everyone will be scared. That you don't want to fake that you are a great devotee in front of Abhiram Thakur. Because he thinks, oh, he's a great devotee, will pay obeisances, and then it's not his fault if you die. So if you are trying to show, it can happen to the body, like sometimes we may, by our conditions, try to put us in a situation where we look like very, very good devotees, etc. But with Abhiram Thakur around, you would say, I'm falling, Prabhu. I'm so falling. I will prove to you, please don't pay obeisances to me. I don't want to die. So Abhiram Thakur heard about Gopal. And he heard, oh, this is a great devotee. I want to know him. I want to meet him. And I want to pay obeisances to him. Not just to prove if he was pure or not, but just because he was feeling genuine appreciation. But when the villagers, people find out about that, Abhiram Thakur would come and would pay obeisance to Gopal Guru. They love Gopal a lot, so they became very concerned. Say, no, this is very bad. What happened? Maybe Gopal has some little desire there, and then he will die. So everyone was worried. Meanwhile, Abhiram Thakur was traveling, coming and coming, close and close, and finally he came. And Lord Chaitanya happened to be there. And Gopal was with Lord Chaitanya when Abhiram Thakur entered. And when Abhiram Thakur entered, Gopal went to Lord Chaitanya's lap, like close to him, because they were talk a lot about Abhiram Thakur. It's not described if he was I don't know if he was really afraid or not, but he took shelter on Lord Chaitanya. And then Abhiram Thakur paid obeisances. And everyone was looking if Gopal will die or not. And finally he didn't die. So everyone saw, oh, now Gopal is really, really a great devotee. He's a really pure faith for the Lord. So he has this pure faith for the holy name. And in this statement of the scriptures and everything. So this is an example of someone with faith. Fortunately, we don't have to go through that test. It's 8:21. So this is just one point. Srila Prabhupada does many, many other points even about Namavas. But I think it's time for you to, if you want to comment or add. There are many things to add, I think. But the main point here is that whatever you can achieve by other processes can be achieved easily by the bhakti process. That's one thing. And for a devotee, all these results obtained by karma and other processes of material happiness, etc., for a real devotee, this is nothing. They are not looking for that. All other kind of spiritual practitioners, they are in anxiety. Or even we can check, if we are in anxiety, we still didn't achieve the practice of pure devotional service. Anxiety, material anxiety, they didn't achieve shanti, peace. Like a bhakta is a nishkama, ata eva shanta. Lord Chaitanya explained that only a bhakta who is nishkama, because he doesn't have any material desire, he can be peaceful. But the bhuktis, those who are looking for material happiness, and the mukti, the jnanis, those who look for peace from all birth and death, they actually are in anxiety also. And the siddhis, the yogis, are also in anxiety, attracted to all the mystic power, etc. But a pure devotee, he is peaceful because he doesn't desire anything except to serve the Lord. And his only anxiety is how to serve Krishna better, which is another kind of anxiety. And so by chanting the holy name, it's described here that you can get at least minimum all the results from these processes. But to speak if you chant purely. So, and this chanting is called Namavas, and I didn't do much research, but this chanting in the scriptures and the chanting even of many devotees who approached Srila Prabhupada in the Topkin Square Garden, they were chanting without knowing everything. This is also a Namavasa chanting. And then you have the aparada, that when you commit offenses, then that chanting is very dangerous. Namavasa, when you are trying to clear the offenses and you are conscious, trying to get rid of offenses. But there are many types of Namavasa. I think Jagannath may be more aware of that in Jaiva Dharma, because you were giving, it's explained, I think in chapter 25, there are Chaya Namavasa and Pratibimba Namavasa. Chaya Namavasa is recommended, but Pratibimba Namavasa pertains more to a chanting with some kind of jnani conceptions and karma kandi, trying to obtain other things, that chanting can lead to offenses of the holy names. But the way that is put here on Srila Prabhupada made it emphasize is that we try to clear of offenses, that chanting is not considered nama parada chanting when you are striving for the pure chanting, although it's not pure. And it's compared to the light entering from a cloud. You cannot see the sun yet, but you see the light. The light is coming. So although it's all cloudy, still there is light. So although our chanting may be all covered still by our anarthas, still we're getting the benefit of sub product of the chanting of the holy name, which is explained here, like freedom from sinful reaction, etc., in that level. But this is not the result. Actually, the result of the chanting of the holy name are sudullaba, are very rare to obtain. But these things, like freedom from sinful reactions, can be obtained by namavas, by this chanting. Have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Prabhu. I'm just wanting to understand and increase my own faith a little. So, when people chant namabhas, they get freed from sinful reactions. Now, part of the statements that we were discussing is that by doing acts of atonement, one can get free from sinful reaction, but it doesn't actually adjust the propensity, the kutam. So, we meet people on Sankirtan and we maybe get them to chant. So all their sinful reactions are getting nullified. Now, perhaps a question could be, well, these people, they may go and do all the same activities. They may go continue to perform sinful activities unless something for them very, conscious, in their conscious, something very transformative that they can feel, then they're likely to. So when we get the opportunity to meet people and they chant, and then we don't know what happens to them after that, all their slate has been cleaned, which is remarkable, and it's inconceivable, really. And so then they go their way, and how do we know, or what can you describe more about this, understanding the potency of the holy name in the long term?
Yes. So, when you first chant the holy name without knowing the glories of the holy name, so somehow there are some protection. Because it's explained in this verse, if you chant jokingly, etc., or you say someone just chant the holy name, and they are doing without trying to. If you say chant the holy name because you will obtain this and that, that's not very. Then if the person starts chanting for other purposes, then there is a purpose there. So that's not, that may be another thing, but if they are just chanting, they are getting benefits of describing the scriptures, like Ajamil. But of course, they will continue with sinful reactions. At least they get association of advanced devotee. Because this is what can really take you, makes your chanting better and your devotional life better. We just come to devotional service by some kind of faith, or at least some little shraddha that the devotees may bestow, but that cannot grow without a proper association of devotees. So you can chant, but then you cannot go farther. At least you get the mercy of the association for the devotee who can take you farther. So still, the result is there. Like many sinful reactions are born by every chanting, every name of the Lord. We cannot see that, but it's there. And But they may still commit sinful activities and they may chant very sporadically. So it's not like you say someone hear Hare Krishna and then he start Hare Krishna all the time. If they start chanting all the time, amazing things will happen because by constant chanting, even in Namama Parada, even if you commit offenses and sinful reaction, but you chant constantly, later on they will accumulate all the mukhi, bhakti, sukriti, will accumulate in such a way that soon will bring the association of a great devotee who will help you. It will build up that. Therefore, constant chanting is recommended in all the levels, but especially if you want to get rid of all the offenses, that's the only way recommended. So it's always beneficial to chant. But if there is not that association, someone may chant once, and then he builds up something. There is some pious credit there. I mean, spiritual credit in chanting.
Thank you. So just to explore a little more, so then what is it that's really addressing this kutam, or there's propensity to sin again? You're mentioning the association. So what takes place in that association that is actually able to remove this propensity?
Okay, what does take place in the association of the devotee who will remove the anarthas?
Yes.
Well, there are many things. One is in the how is the verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam? When you have a start the chapter 2, Shradadanasya, Srushusro, Shradadanasya, then Vasudeva Kataruchi. Yeah, that Kataruchi, by serving a devotee, because association of a devotee is implied, it's not, I mean, Prabhupada, many people were around Prabhupada, but only few serve him. So association of devotee means that you are serving a devotee, there is an exchange. It's like dadati pratigrinati, the association of devotees described in Upadasamrita as exchanges, different kind of exchange. Dadati patiginati, guhyam akyati prikchati. It's not getting close to a person just only. So in that association by serving the devotee, the first symptom is Vasudeva Kata Ruchi, a taste for hearing about Krishna. And that taste for hearing about Krishna cleans at the heart. The stapra yesavadrisu, taking all the inauspicious things from the heart, all the anarthas, in a gradual process. It depends of the devotee who are associating and the attitude of the practitioner.
Doesn't the In our process, the cleansing agent also is compared to the holy name. That is what's cleaning the heart, Chaito Darpana Marjram. So is this the same thing? Or when you refer to Vasudev Kata?
If you serve a devotee, you are also serving by chanting the holy name, because serving without chanting is not like, especially in the relationship guru, disciple, is not service, because the main instruction is when you promise something in the moment of initiation, you don't promise I'm going to serve your body 24 hours a day, or I'm going to wash dishes 24 hours a day or every day. You promise, of course, to be the servant of the servant, but as a specific service, you promise to chant 16 rounds. Chanting. That's the main. Prabhupada said in a letter that 99% of advancement comes from chanting the holy name. And there are examples of devotees who made a lot of service to Prabhupada, of course, and they get benefit, that's sure, but they neglected the chanting. They become very much involved in other services, And finally, because of that, according to explanation of senior devotees, they gave up devotional service. They gave up at all the other services and the chanting. So that shows that you can serve a you may not be serving properly if you don't develop the taste for chanting, or if you're not chanting. But you get what is called back to Mukhi Sukriti by doing any service to a devotee. But the real symptom that you are advancing is that if you are in association of devotees, like everything else, like you do the same that the person is doing. Like if you, the real proof that you are getting association with vikarmis or with people who are, for example, drinking alcohol, the real test is that you start developing a taste for those activities. Or someone who, I don't know, watch a lot of movies, then you start watching movies also. That it's automatically, it's a principle. So if you're associating with a devotee who's chanting the holy name, obviously you will chant.
Can I just conclude? Because it was, you know, I'm just myself okay, nice. Getting a better understanding that although often in Shastra this is mentioned as the eradication of sinful reactions just by chanting, but just as we're discussing this purport, that actually the emphasis goes that the real benefit is it awakens one's Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, these are sub-products.
Just what Hari Das was. Yeah, these are just the byproducts. But that it often seems Shastra mentions, of course, Hari Das Thakur is revealing the higher benefit, really.
Yeah, these are just sub-products, and the devotee is not interested in getting free from sinful reaction. That is a karma. The karma kanda, he stopped performing vikarma, so he doesn't get any sinful reaction, so he can really enjoy. But the devotees are even willing to, like Arjuna, he was afraid first to commit sinful activity, but Krishna said, he gave reason that he won't get any sinful reaction when he was preaching to him in a material, more a kind of utilitarianism level, and saying that if you perform your duty, you don't get sinful reaction, but that's not really devotional service. But finally, he said, "Sarvadharman paritaja," that abandon all varieties of dharma. Even they bring some benefits, but even if you commit something that is sinful, sarvam papevyo, I will free you from. So moksha will give you freedom from sinful reactions just by serving me. But this is not the real intention of the devotee to get free. This is a sub-product.
This is an example of multi-kalamananda, with it by this and the most. So the discussions of the Shastra is actually a glorification of Shudana indirectly. Yeah.
What to speak of as Shudana?
That's the idea of the
where is that definition coming from?
I'm getting it in the sixth canto of the Shrimad
Bhagavatam. Ah, good to know. Yes, it's like you say, a glorification of something higher. And in an immature stage, what we get from this pastime is to say, oh, okay, so I can do all kind of sinful activity. And then at the end of life, chant the holy name or thing like that, it will derive. But this is not a... Or like when you go Tulsi, circumvallating Tulsi, many times the devotees they ask, like, Yani Kani Cha Papani Brahma Hatya Dikani Cha. So what these things is there? Like if you kill a Brahmana by circumvallating Tulsi, you get free. So the meaning is not that go, yeah. The meaning is not that like you kill a Brahmana. Like the devotees sometimes they joke when they're going around, or like you can make a picture. Like one devotee has a problem with another Brahman, so he goes with a knife behind, Yani Kani Chapapani. Because he knows that by circumvallating he will be free from that. So watch your back. But the meaning is that Tulsi, worshiping Tulsi is so powerful. No? But the real thing is that you can get service in Vrindavan, no? Being an eternal servant of Krishna there. I think we are on, we pass out of time.
I got a little pastime. When I was in the city doing Harinam, three kids came walking, and one of the kids was really, really wasted. He's incredibly drunk, and then he starts dancing in circles, and Harinam starts chanting Hare Krishna. Oh. And of course his two friends were just like laughing at him, took out their phone, start videotaping him dancing, you know, with other devotees. And then you could tell he was in some type of bliss. And then Bhakta Matt, who was here not too long ago, before, you know, he's in India now, but hands him the Krishna book, and he opens the Krishna book, and he looks in it, and his face kept twitching. It was just like, you can tell, he's like, it was like he's getting smacked in the face. It was funny, but no, it was just, wanted to know what you'd think of that, like if you even come across like incredibly intoxicated.
You know. Yeah, it's wonderful, very transcendental auspiciousness. Yeah. Therefore, Harinam is recommended, like so many living entities have benefit. There are stories of dogs dancing, the contemporary stories. Thank you very much for bringing that. Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.